Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Chad Mark Quitz. We're your hosts for this weekend's edition. Also your host on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. That's where you can listen to all of our daily editorials and company interviews throughout the week. Well, we're into November here, and I think that gives us a good time to look back in October and look ahead to the end of this year. No doubt that it has been a tough year for investors. We are kicking off this weekend's show with Richard Postman, a.k.a. Doc. And Doc, as we always do at the end of every month, we look back and recap the monthly moves. Again, focus more on the monthly, longer-term charts. Not so much for the active day-to-day trader here. This is more for people that want to either get into a buy and hold position or truly see if a bottom is in place. Now, Doc, I know everyone on our site wants to know about gold. Gold, for the most part, last month was relatively flat in the face of everything else moving higher. More importantly, though, it did finish with a red monthly candle. That's 7 months in a row where gold has moved negative. Doc, take us through your thoughts on gold and the setup now that we are in November, please.
Yeah, Corey, I think I've talked for 3 months about the closing price of gold and talking about how we were due to have a month where we close higher, and sure enough, here we are 7 months with another lower closing. We haven't seen that in about 50 years, if I go back, and that is so unusual. Now, the good news is that we've had 7 months, so we're due for a month where we close higher, the longer we go with this. But the negative here is we close the month between the 50 exponential and simple moving averages, and that does not bode well. Now, possibly we could close next month higher, but the point I would make based on looking at the long-term charts, those who think that we've seen the low, the probability of that, in my view, is not very high. I actually think we're going to see a lower gold price in the weeks to months facing us. I know that's not very positive, but the charts right now signal to me that we're going to continue to see pressure on the precious metals and the stocks in the weeks and months moving forward.
Well, Doc, do you have a rough downside target of what you're looking at, or what kind of things do you want to see on the monthly or longer dated charts to give you confidence that we will have a bottoming process? You had mentioned off mic you thought it's probably going to happen some kind of a basing process moving into next year. What will you be looking for when you say, okay, this looks like we do have a bottom?
Yeah, and I mentioned that off mic, that next year will be a basing year. I mentioned months ago and almost a year ago that I felt that the earliest we could see a major bull move again for the precious metals and the stocks would be in 2023. And here we're approaching 2023. If we would have that happen, it would probably be in the second part of the year. But as mentioned, I think it's going to be primarily basing. I look at, hopefully we don't go lower than the low 1500s, because that's a major Fibonacci area for me. And we could go lower, but I think it's very possible that we move down to the lower 1500s before we can even think about a low yet in this market. Now, we might not get there right away, but I do think over the next 12 months that we will see that area challenged. Then at that point in time, I'd be able to say, okay, whether I think we're pretty close to a bottom or whether we're going to even challenge lower lows. But that's what I'm thinking right now, plus what you said, Chad, that we had mentioned off mic that I feel that 2023 is going to be, and the rest of this year is going to be a start of a basing pattern.
So, Doc, a lot of the precious metals bulls are also looking to silver and saying, well, silver's held up a bit better than gold, and the silver stocks have done a bit better than gold. Maybe that means a couple people are taking some more risky bets on the precious metals. What's your outlook for silver then?
Well, interestingly about silver is we've had 2 months of higher closing highs on the monthly chart on silver. But this month was barely higher. So, you know, we may have another month, but they're not strong months. So silver is telling me that if we're talking about gold going lower, I don't know how silver can avoid that either, especially if we're facing recession going forward in a weakening economy, which is most likely, although I really feel we're in recession, but a lot of people don't think we are, but that we'll be in one in 2023. So I think silver will have more downside also. And it won't plunge, but it should gradually work itself lower. And that will impact a lot of the silver stocks. Some that I feel have not seen their lows, some of the better stocks that I think have more room to move lower.
Doc, let's do a little cross-market analysis here. When I pull up the S&P against gold and the S&P against gold stocks, the S&P has been outperforming these stocks for most of this year. Pulled back a little bit just in the last month. But again, we have seen, unfortunately for the gold bugs, an outperformance of more U.S. markets over the general gold stocks. What's your takeaway from this environment?
Yeah, and I think we're pretty close to having a topping period again in the general markets and the risk-on markets. We may see a little bit more movement higher, but I think they're getting tired now, and they're meeting some resistance. And even if they break a little bit higher, I think we've just begun this bear market. And when all is said and done, I have a feeling the odds are very strong that post-World War II, we're going to end up with one of the longest bear markets we've seen. The longest post-World War II is about 22 months. The shortest is about 5 months. And I'll bet, I have a feeling that we're going to see a bear stock market that takes out the 22-month duration, one of the worst. I think that is a real good probability, and we may even see not bad strength in November. I don't think we're going to have the percentage move higher that we've seen in October and some of the months before. But I think we just vacillate up here a little bit in November and December. But I think January of next year is going to be problematic for the risk markets.
Well, Doc, I don't think you're alone in expecting there to still be another leg lower to this bear market and for the duration to last longer, like many bear markets have. But do you have any levels you're watching in the S&P or the NASDAQ that you are waiting to see if it retraces? Or are there any chart indicators you're looking at that would signal where a top to this recent bear market rally is and where people that maybe wanted to go short would get in and where the downside targets are?
Well, I think we're pretty close to the top of this rally, and we may not see a big move down in November. But when you look at the long-term MACD, we have a chance to move down a little bit this month or to stay pretty close to these recent highs. And that could even last into December, frankly, because December becomes often a month where there's not a lot of trading and it becomes a quiet month. But based on the MACD and the 12 and the 26 moving average that I'm looking at right now, I think we get into trouble as we approach the end of the year.
All right, Doc, I've cut you off here. We are out of time for this segment on the radio, but we're having you back on next segment, so everyone stick around. We're going to be
Al
right
Corlin's
back.
Firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Richard Poso, a.k.a. Doc. Doc, let's move over to the U.S. dollar, because it's a trend that we've seen this whole year is if the dollar's up, markets, really everything else is lower. The dollar in October actually put in a negative candle. It was only the second negative candle in, I believe, 12 months. Shows just how strong that dollar rally is. And again, it wasn't a huge negative candle. The dollar opened at about 112.15, closed at 111.42. Do you think this is enough to say that the dollar is starting to top?
I believe the dollar is starting to top. And back in July, I believe I said it, August, I said I expect the dollar to top at the end of the year and to begin its topping. And I believe it is starting to do that. And there are a number of technicals that are telling me that right now. Now, that does not mean that we're going to see the dollar just plunge, but I think we're going to get more of what we saw back in 2015 and 16, where we saw a topping pattern for a number of months. And I think that's what we're going to see, because really there's no currency out there that could have an influence on the dollar plunging at all. The euro is in deep trouble, and that makes up 58% of the trade weighted dollar index. So, and we know Japan Japan is just sucking wind, too. So fundamentally, there's nothing to really challenge the dollar at this time. But I do believe we're starting that topping procedure right now. We could move back up and challenge the highs of 114.75 one more time. But it appears definitely that we're moving into a situation where the dollar is going to begin its topping procedure.
Well, Doc, you've mentioned a couple of times in the past that you didn't think the dollar was just going to roll back over and start a huge leg down, but it may actually just tread sideways. What would that mean for the commodity sector if the dollar just kind of stayed in this, let's say, 110 to 114 range? What would that mean for things like oil, the energy sector, or the base metals?
Well, oil is a different bird in that OPEC and some of these companies can control the price of oil to a point. But if we enter a significant recession worldwide, the demand side, I think, is going to become problematic for the oil price going forward. So we're going to have to wait and see how deep the recession is going to be going forward, because that will impact the oil. Now, I don't think oil is going to drop right out of bed, but the good news is that we may not see a significant pressure on oil until after the election, which I find that to be good news, frankly. And let's keep those gas prices up before the election. But I do think as far as the oil price running higher on another leg, I think that's over for quite a while. And I think we're going to start to trade in a sideways to down manner in oil in the next few months. Not appreciably lower, but I do think that the big move in oil is over for a while. As far as other commodities, I think with a recession coming up, I think they're going to be impacted as well. It's going to be hard for them not to be impacted, and especially if the dollar stays relatively strong up at these levels. I think the commodity sector is also not going to do much as far as the upside. And I kind of watch copper, Mr. Copper, and I think that's in the process of moving even lower based on the technicals. And so copper as an indicator tells me a lot of the other commodities are not going to necessarily do very well in this environment either.
So, Doc, overall, it sounds like you think a lot of things are at best going to move sideways, but still show some weakness, some fairly severe weakness, it sounds like, as we maybe head into early next year. Does that mean this is more a shorter's market, more a trader's market? It doesn't sound like it's time to buy and hold right now.
No, for me, it's as an investor, it's just sit back and wait for the good bargains. For me as an investor, in fact, most of the cash that I'm in I'm in preferred corporate bonds, which when you look at the premium, the cents on the dollar that I pay for them and the interest rates I'm getting, I'm returning myself 9 to 10%. I'm happy with that. And I'm going to stay in those for a while. In fact, I have some callable dates out to the spring. That's how confident I am that these markets aren't going to do through the first half of next year. And so that's what I'm doing personally, although I'm buying some gold stocks, and I'm waiting on some of the good silver stocks to continue to move lower. But I am purchasing slowly, very slowly, some of the gold stocks that have already been washed out that are not juniors. And I'll continue to do that by bits and pieces, but I'll only get very aggressive in the future when I feel we're very close to where all of these sectors have been washed out.
Well, Doc, one other thing we usually ask you is about any bellwether stocks you're watching. In the past, we've discussed Newmont as the largest gold company. We've discussed Hecla as two bellwethers you watch. Any signals from either of those that are giving you an impression of how things are developing in the mining stocks, particularly in the larger cap stocks?
Newmont's trying to hang up there, and so is Hecla, which is okay, but I think Newmont's going to break lower eventually, and I think Hecla will too. And so I continue to watch them. Another one I'm very interested in that I'd like to get in sooner than later is Kinross, because the two things I like about them is they're a solid, well, one of the things is they're a solid company, number one. Number two is they're buying back stock. I forget how, $100 millions, and they also pay a dividend. And I really respect that. And I'm waiting for them hopefully to move lower so I can pick them up even at lower prices. I'd like to pick Kinross up underneath $3 a share. I think we can get there. We're working on it, but their chart does not look horrible right now. I think they have a tendency to move a little bit lower, and I want to pick them up between $2 and $3 a share. But those are three companies I really watch closely. I think Newmont is going to break lower one of these days, and we're going to see it move down next to $30 to $35.
Okay. Doc, thank you, as always, for your time, and thanks for throwing a little more cold water on everybody, hoping that this rally general run higher would continue. I think we all are still viewing this very much as a bear market rally, but that whole potentially finding a bottom, it taking longer to find a bottom, we all do need to understand the time frame here that we're talking about and how next year we don't necessarily are off and running early on. Doc, thank you, as always, for your time. It's great having you on this weekend show. I'm sure we'll chat again at the beginning of December. Have a great rest of your weekend, Doc.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Republicans of the House Judiciary Committee released a report on Friday that accuses the FBI and Justice Department of political bias. Ranking committee member Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan says the report shows how bad things have gotten.
It's all driven by politics now over there. We live in the greatest country ever, but America's not America if you have a Justice Department that treats people differently under the law. It's supposed to be equal treatment under the law. That's not happening.
The report details investigations Republicans plan to consider if they win a majority in the House after the midterm elections. President Biden is cheering the October jobs report, which revealed 261,000 jobs were created last month. The report also showing that hourly earnings rose by 0.4% in October. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I need some extra money. Do I qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Use the EITC Assistant tool. With just a little information, this tool helps you calculate eligibility with ease and accuracy, get an estimate of how much credit you qualify for, and get a printout of your results before you prepare your return or visit your tax preparer. To use the EITC Assistant tool and see if you're eligible to claim a credit, visit irs.gov/EITC.
Across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Now, those first two segments with Richard Bosma, more technically focused and more of a, market chart outlook there, as Doc really does stick to those monthly charts and tries to simplify where he sees the markets going. And boy, oh boy, Doc has been quite spot on through a lot of this bear market, even through a bit of the bull market, too. We are going to switch a little bit of focus here in the final two segments, taking a bigger look, a big picture look at the resource sector, as we are chatting with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, since you manage a long-only fund in the resource sector, we've had you on the show a number of times, and you've broken down the different resources that you're focused on, some of the different stocks that you have been buying. There's no doubt that, look, this has been kind of a bear market for a lot of sectors, including a lot of the resource sectors, and the stocks have really taken it on the chin. When it comes to managing a long-only portfolio in this environment, what have you been doing this year? Do you find that consolidating positions, casting a more narrow net, is better than spreading out your positions, casting a wider net? Please share with us your strategy in these bear market times.
You got it. Well, thanks for having me back on the program here, Corey and Chad. It's always good to join you guys. Yeah, I mean, anybody listening to this that has been involved in any risk-on segment of the market understands the pain that investors have gone through here over the past 6 to 7 months in most sectors. And then, of course, if you look at precious metals in particular, it's now been over 2 years of pain, particularly in the equities, but also in the general metal prices since they peaked in late 2020. A little bit easier on the battery and base metal side of things, where a lot of those metals and associated equities were rocking and rolling just as recently as March this year. So in that sense, I think there's probably more wood to chop amongst the elsewhere in the metal complex, where I would like to think that amongst precious metals in particular, a lot of the weaker hands have been shaken out. That said, you're right. I mean, I am cautious on resources, very cautious, but it's paradoxical. It's not due to where natural resources and commodities sit generally. It has to do with the broader market. So let me explain. On the mining front and on the commodities front, there's reason to be actually very optimistic over the medium to long term here, looking over the course of this decade. Really, if you look at metal prices, the valuations of associated mining equities, we are at record lows relative to the general stock market. So from a relative space or perspective, I still believe we're in a very, very good place. That said, these are risk-on equities at the end of the day, particularly as you get down to the junior end of the mining sector. And we are in a risk-off environment in the broader market that I think, and again, this is just a hypothesis, I don't have a crystal ball here, but I think we have some more pain ahead. You know, last year in 2021 was a unique combination, a euphoria amongst market participants, as well as incredibly accommodative monetary and Federal Reserve support for the general markets. There's inevitably going to be a hangover, and my concern is that the broader markets remain weak for the next 12 months is kind of the assumption that I'm making. And as a result, even though this decade looks good for mining investments, we could suffer for that long period. So the biggest risk that I see it for investors is getting shaken out here in the next 6, 12, or 18 months for those that are invested in mining equities. So do what you have to do. If you're already invested, you know, keep a healthy cash position. Also focus on investments that have lengthy runway before they need to raise capital next. I do not expect it to be a particularly hospitable environment to finance your operations in the next 12, maybe even 18 months. So perhaps look for juniors that are out there that are good on working capital through, you know, mid to late 2024 and can deliver catalysts in the meantime. Of course, the vast majority of juniors don't fit this mold, but there are a few out there if you dig deep. So that'd be one place that I'd encourage investors to look.
Well, Matt, some cogent points there about the potential of the financial hangover and what that could mean for all sectors, but of course the resource sector. And you brought up a key point that I'd love you to expand on, and that is that these are equities. At the end of the day, these are companies that are running different stage mining projects, so they could be earlier stage discovery stories, more advanced exploration, or moving into developers or producers or royalty companies. There's a swath of different areas that these companies can participate in. But a lot of investors, Matt, make the mistake of thinking like, hey, I've got gold because I've got gold stocks. Well, if they have gold explorers, they may not have any gold yet. Or, hey, I've got nickel stocks. But again, if they have a nickel developer, they're not producing any nickel yet. So how do you separate the wheat from the chaff when you look at these companies? And you mentioned they're having the runway of money. That's one thing. But the key thing is, how do these companies build value? So how do you dive into these companies and really separate the good from the bad?
If there's a second point that I could impress upon your audience, of course, the first is don't get shaken out. Don't have overly optimistic expectations for mining equities here over the next 6, 12, 18 months. Take a medium to long-term time horizon, and if you can't do that, you shouldn't be in the space. That's the first point. The second point is to really de-emphasize the metal of focus. And I know this goes a lot against what investors focus on, particularly when they're new to the space. But it can be very tempting to chase the flavor of the month metal, which I don't think there's any question that lithium is that metal at the moment. When I evaluated a new investment opportunity, I do evaluate the metal of focus, but that's one of the very last boxes that I check when evaluating an investment. I always start with the people. Are they honest people? Have they made money for myself or for other investors that I trust in the past? Are they well incentivized? Do they have overly high G&A? You know, are they distracted with three or four other opportunities, or are they all in on this? Have they been successful in this area before? You can screen out so many names in this space by just looking at the management team. And that helps a lot with kind of prioritizing what opportunities to do due diligence on. Because if you can discard 80 to 90% of the opportunities off the bat, then you're going to be focusing more on the wheat, as you said, versus the chaff. So that's one thing to look at. The second I would look at is the actual project quality. And there are a lot of folks in this industry that like to invest in the optionality plays. Those are the stories that, you know, at $1,800 gold or $350 copper will never be built in a million years. But, you know, if gold does run up to $3,000 in the next couple years, or if we do see $5 to $7 copper in the near term, these projects, at least on paper, can make a lot of money. So there are folks that have done this very successfully. You know, the Electrums and Sun Valleys of the world come to mind. That is definitely not the MJG style of investment. We like stories, you know, development stage, production stage, you know, post-discovery speculation that we at least think can make money at current metal prices or metal prices that are well below current metal prices, depending on the metal of focus. So I would encourage investors to look at those higher margin development projects, to look at those lowest quartile producers, and not try to speculate on $3,000 gold happening over any time frame, because we probably will see that this decade, but I think anybody that tells you with any definitive view when it's going to happen is probably fooling themselves or fooling you or both.
So, Matt, we hear all the time how important management is. You even outlined it there. How do you go about reevaluating some management teams when there's bad news that comes out of the sector? And unfortunately, this year, there's been a lot of bad news, but a couple companies that have strong management teams and have had success in the past, like Pure Gold, McEwen Mining, they've struggled. How do you reevaluate the team then?
Yeah, good question. Well, one thing that I would start with is for investors to separate share price performance from management performance. Sometimes they are correlated, sometimes they are not. So I think you need to be flexible and look at every situation on a case-by-case basis. Occasionally you'll have management teams, some that are even credible and have you know, done well before, make false is a strong word, but set expectations that are not met. And occasionally that can be, you know, nefarious. Oftentimes it's reasonable guess and things just did not come to pass. So I think you have to be a little bit flexible with your thinking.
All right, guys, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we are chatting with Matt Geiger next segment. So everyone stick around. We're going to continue our focus on the resource sector.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813-813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813-813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813-813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not conditioned to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813-813.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Everyone, welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing to chat with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, let's be honest with ourselves. Pretty much all the stocks have sold off. And even in the first couple of segments, Doc was outlining how he thought some of the bigger companies, especially in the precious metals sector, could actually pull back even more than the juniors because the juniors are just so bombed out. When you're analyzing a company, you must be paying attention to market cap, and there's a lot of single-digit million-dollar market caps out there, plus ounces in the ground, when we're talking precious metals, they're getting not much value at all. Where do you see the most opportunity, let's say, in the precious metals sector? Is it those with ounces in the ground, those with cash that are simply exploring, or those companies that are trying to move into development, understanding, boy, oh boy, it's been a tough game for a lot of those companies going through any sort of mine build right now.
You summarize that well, Corey. I mean, I would actually say there are opportunities amongst each of those niches. You just have to look at it one by one. So talking about the exploration names that are cashed up, a name that comes to mind is Almadex Minerals, which is a holding of the MJG fund, I should mention. They have $16 million in the bank, some marketable securities, and are trading at a market cap of $17, $18 million at the moment, so enterprise value of $1 or $2 million. They're participating in some very high-risk exploration. They're drilling one project in Nevada called Paradise, one down in Mexico as we speak as well. The chance of success on either of these drill programs are very low. And for your average junior that's drilling at this stage, if they miss, we're talking about 90% downside. The beauty of Almodex, however, is that they only have to fall 3 or 4 cents or $1 to $2 million in market cap before they're literally trading at their cash breakup value. So I view that as a unique instance where you can participate in the potential upside that's afforded by early stage exploration without taking the potential for a 90% to 95% hit if things don't pan out as they normally don't. And of course, the other beauty is Almodex will not have to raise for many, many years, if ever again, because of this working capital position. So that also checks the box that we were talking about earlier in the interview. In terms of the development stage names, I agree with you, especially the later stage development names in the precious metal space have been absolutely hammered. And I actually think amongst the gold-focused names, we're probably closer to the bottom than we are the top. I mean, it's been 2 years of pain already. I do expect the precious metal focused names en masse to turn around, you know, sooner than the rest of the metals complex. So maybe that'll happen closer to spring or summer of next year, potentially. That's just kind of the framework I'm working around. But you mentioned ounces in the ground. I think that's a potential pitfall for investors in this space. Like that, the distinction has to be drawn. Not all ounces are created equal at all. Some are very low grade, metallurgically challenged, located far away from infrastructure, never going to be permitted, never going to receive the social license. So I think that's a pretty basic metric to look at. And I think each project needs to be looked at within its own context. So I'd steer away from investors focused too much on that. But again, if it's a good project that's focused on gold, makes sense at the current metal prices, makes sense at $1,600 gold, makes sense at $1,500 gold, you have a management team in there you trust, and you don't think there's going to be a dilutive financing in the immediate term, then yes, those are opportunities to look. And then I would just flag the royalty names quickly. I mean, I do have a bias towards the royalty business model. I think it's a phenomenal way to get long-term exposure to the mineral space. And so I think a lot of the royalty companies out there, not all of them, but if they're willing to sit on their hands, have no need to finance over the next 12, 18 months. And additionally, if things get really ugly, a few of them have pretty healthy balance sheets where they can go out there and opportunistically do deals. So I think as the market gets increasingly ugly, should that occur, the advantage tilts further and further to the royalty names. So it's also at least a niche of the market where folks should potentially take a look.
Well, Matt, just one more question for you as we wrap up. There's the advantage you've mentioned of companies that are cashed up, but it really comes down to what they do with that cash, because we saw a lot of companies that were cashed up a year or two ago went out and blew through all that money on drill programs, on permitting, on G&A, on developing or, you know, de-risking their project, and they didn't get any market love for it after 2 years of all their work. So even if a company is cashed up, that doesn't necessarily guarantee that they're going to build value. So how do you dig a little deeper in that one component?
No, it doesn't. And there are no guarantees, especially at this more speculative end of the market. So each of the investments that we're placing have risks, and many of them will not work out. Some of these will be because of mistakes management make. Obviously, with the focus on people, you hope that the majority of ones that don't work out is just because of bad luck or for external factors that are outside of management's control. But I think it's, you know, as I've invested more and more in the space, really what you learn to do is try to minimize the obvious mistakes that you make, because there's an element of luck with all of these bets that you place. Even the best team that are working incredibly hard, incredibly well incentivized, have already made two major discoveries in their past two companies. There's no guarantee that their current one is going to succeed. But the point of it is to really turn the odds as much in your favor as you can, and then stick with these people through thick and thin. And as long as they're delivering what they've said they will deliver, and you're happy with the company's trajectory, and you don't view that the company's price has exceeded what you think is fair value, then you stick with them. So I would encourage investors to understand that the chance of failure far outweighs the chance of success for all of these companies. I mean, you can assume a PEA level project, at most 10% of them will ever, you know, be built within our lifetime. You know, feasibility stage projects, you know, maybe you're closer to 30% of them being built. These are the later stage names. But if you're in the exploration game, like the chances of success are very, very minimal. And I think that bears repeating. So do your best as an investor to back the right people. and for them to have cash to be able to accomplish certain unanswered questions. And sometimes the answer is not what you want, but that doesn't necessarily mean it was a bad speculation. You just have to stick with your process ultimately.
That's true. Don't get too locked up in maybe the flavor of the month, flavor of the year in terms of metal, and make sure that you're doing your due diligence. Final comment then, Matt. You've alluded a number of times to next year, maybe even the beginning of 2024, being a major turning point. What are you looking for to play out over the next year, year and a half, either macro-wise, market-wise, that does cause that big turn? Because right now, all we hear about is how unloved, how oversold the sector is. But quite frankly, just because people are bailing out of the sector doesn't mean that's going to form a bottom.
Yeah, I mean, my assumption is that the broader market has to bottom. So that's what I'm basing that expectation off of. It doesn't necessarily have to be the case, but as stated, I think the fair assumption is that these are risk-on equities at the end of the day, and if the broader market is in a panic risk-off mode, then we're going to suffer. And, you know, it's better to assume that and hope for the best than to have false expectations. But, you know, I've gone back and looked at kind of the four major, you know, general market dislocations that have occurred over the past century. And, you know, the average duration of them, I believe, is 26 months based on the numbers that we ran. And, you know, you're looking at 40 to 50% drawdowns. Obviously, the Great Depression was an anomaly, and that went on for closer to 3 years and you know, entailed a closer to an 80% drawdown. But on average, if you look at the major market dislocations, that's what you can be in store for. So it's not a particularly sophisticated or exact expectation, but I think those that, you know, spend their waking hours trying to, you know, opine the tops and bottoms of markets are doing themselves a disservice. So I think my energy is better spent on identifying specific investment opportunities and specific teams to back. I think it's helpful to have a view on the broader market, but I don't think you need to have ideas in mind of exact timing, because, you know, this is just, it's extremely difficult to know what the market is going to do in the short to medium term. But if you look at relative valuations and you're patient, things start to work out over the longer term.
Yeah, and just pay attention to what the market's doing too, right? Don't listen to all these people that are always calling bottoms. They're always calling tops because they are wrong so much of the time, and sometimes it can keep you in positions much longer than you should be. Matt, it's great chatting with you. Thank you so much for sharing. I think most importantly, how you're managing the portfolio, but also your outlook for a wide range of sectors and how you're analyzing companies, because we all need to understand that in this bear market, it's a tougher environment for everybody. Matt, thank you again for your time on this weekend show. Everybody, thank you for tuning in on the weekend show. Be sure to visit our website and podcast throughout the week to stay up to date on all of our market commentary. This last week was a busy one, especially after that Fed meeting. Everybody, thanks for tuning in this weekend. Hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.